Welcome to the Boogie Down Bombers Podcast. A podcast talking all things Yankees and baseball.
Now batting for the Yankees.
Now, here's your hosts, Austin, Tim, and Nick.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Boogie Down Bombers Podcast. I'm Austin Verhill, and along with Nick Giovanelli, we're going to be without Tim for a while now. It's just scheduling, school, jobs. It's unfortunate, but it's the only way for this to be able to happen. Welcome back, guys. It's been a very long time.
Let's go. Come on. Yeah. I'm hyped. Let's go.
Looking at what has happened, if you look at the past few episodes that we did, they were all essentially the same thing with different words.
Yeah.
Because nothing was happening, and there was only one thing on our mind, and that was to re-sign DJ LeMahieu, which is exactly what happened.
Thank God, man.
It was a long and treacherous road, but it finally happened. DJ LeMahieu is a Yankee for at least six more years.
That's so beautiful.
Now, if you've been living under a rock and you just heard that, you're like, hold on, 6 years? I thought the issue was the Yankees is they didn't want to go past three. Yeah, they signed him for 6 years at $90 million. An absolute steal of a contract.
100%.
Now, $90 million over 6 years has an annual value of $15 million. That's nothing for DJ LeMahieu.
If you were going to tell me that the Yankees would have the best hitter in the league for $15 million a year, I would have laughed in your face, to be completely honest.
It's insane. You look at him the past 2 years, and it's been widely considered one of Cashman's best moves.
Easily.
A $24 million deal over 2 years. He was making $12 million a year, but he's only getting a $3 million raise.
I didn't even think of that.
That's it. We're only giving him $3 million more than what we were paying him last year, and what we were paying him last year was probably the steal in terms of baseball.
And everyone thought, well, not everyone, but I remember all the Yankees fans that were like, LeMahieu? This guy? What about Machado or Harper?
Now
look.
When this podcast first started, when DJ signed, it was one of our first episodes. We were still in single digits, I believe. And I brought up to Tim that this guy was my favorite non-Yankee. And I said he's going to do great. And I love an I told you so. And this is an I told you so. However, I still wanted Manny Machado. I said, sign both of them. There's no reason not to.
Imagine that with, like, oh, wow. Machado, Gleyber, LeMahieu, Voit. That's a pretty sick infield.
If we signed LeMahieu and Machado, Gleyber would be stuck in a hole right now.
Yeah.
Gleyber probably would have never gotten his fair shake.
Might have traded him.
Yeah. What an interesting, what a weird...
Oh, we would have traded him for pitching.
Yeah, but then we would have gotten a guy... Well, first, here's the thing. Have you noticed, when it comes to trades, that teams always want way more out of the Yankees than anywhere else?
Yeah, and I think I know why. Because Cashman has fleeced so many people before. Now they only want Gleyber and top-tier talent.
Now, you just brought up Cashman's fleeces, which he is notorious for. I mean, you look at just the past few years. We got Torres for 1 year of Chapman, and then we re-signed Chapman. We got Voit for Chase and Shreve, I mean, we got Stanton for next to nothing.
We got Stanton for a bucket of balls and some change.
Now, I love Starlin Castro.
Me too.
Loved him. But, I mean, we got Stanton for him.
It's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, we got Hicks for John Ryan Murphy. Like, there's just deals that Cashman makes. And the reason I'm bringing all these up is we got Greg Allen, and this just seems like one of those moves.
You think so?
It has one of those moves written all over. I got the same feeling when we acquired Mike Talkman. I was still writing for New York Sports Nation at the time. And I literally wrote about Talkman. So I was like, this guy's probably going to do something. And then he went on and did something. So it just has that feel to it. I mean, and it's all you can really hope for.
I hope you're right.
It's all you can really hope for, because we can never get anyone in a trade that we seem to want. Luis Castillo is not going to be a Yankee.
I hope he is.
It was,
because we need pitching.
It was a rumor that had so much life on it that the GM of the Reds straight up had to come out and say, no, I'm not trading him.
I think all that means is offer more.
But here's the thing. Well, yeah, I mean, if you're trying to trade him, you're not going to say I'm trying to trade him. That's not going to happen. But why would the Reds want to trade Luis Castillo?
I don't really know. Especially with Trevor Bauer gone.
And if you remember the beginning of the offseason, it says that they were looking at deals for Sonny Gray. Do the Reds not like nice things?
No, not really. And I don't really understand it.
This organization has ruined Joey Votto's career.
I mean,
Votto needs a ring.
I don't know if I agree with you.
I love Joey Votto.
And I say that because he did what Mike Trout did, what he did. He found a place he liked. Obviously doesn't matter to him if he wins or not. And signed his life away.
I don't think that's true. I don't think it's true for Trout or Votto that he clearly doesn't care about getting a championship. I think he just wants to do it with the team that drafted him.
I guess.
And the team that drafted them are not doing them any favors.
Yeah, that's true. I want nothing more than players like that to win rings. And I think it's awesome when players are like that and they want to stay homegrown and, like, just do good for their team that gave them the chance. But it's just, I can't really feel bad.
I get it, but, you know, I understand kind of, but saying that you can't feel bad, I gotta disagree, because I feel awful for Trout. I keep almost saying Harper for some reason, but I feel awful for Trout. This man is easily the best player we have ever seen with our eyes.
We did see A-Rod for a while.
True. But we didn't see 03, 04
A-Rod. I get what you're saying.
We saw 07 A-Rod. Jesus Christ. We saw 09 playoffs A-Rod.
That dude went nuts.
But we have seen more God Mike Trout than we have seen God A-Rod.
And Mike Trout just does it so effortlessly. It's just nuts.
It's insane. he's so good at everything. And the Angels decided,
suck at everything.
They decided, I don't want to say they suck at everything, because they got a decent lineup.
Well, finally.
But my lord, is their pitching horrific.
It's almost like they need a top-tier pitcher, like one that's on the market.
You know, it's interesting you say that. Because Trevor Bauer is actually on the market.
And he's pretty good, from what I know.
He's pretty decent. We'll get to him in a second. I want to stick with the Yankees for now, though, because we also got a decent pitcher.
Go for it, man. Let's go. Let's hear it.
Corey Kluber has signed a one-year deal at $11 million. Now, a one-year deal for Corey Kluber is not bad at all. I mean, that's great for both sides. Kluber can try to prove himself. And if he does prove himself, the Yankees have a solid number two starter behind Cole. However, the man really hasn't pitched since 2018.
He's pitched like, what, 10 innings? Maybe, actually, no, I'm just going to check.
Last year, he pitched one inning. One.
He has pitched in the last 2 years. Oh, I was wrong. He's pitched 36.2.
That's not a lot of innings.
Yeah, it's still not good.
So, if he can get back to being healthy, I mean, we say the last time he fully pitched was 2018. He came in third for Cy Young voting that year.
Pretty good.
The year before that, he won it. So, I mean,
he's all right, you know.
When Kluber's on, it is phenomenal to watch.
I really, 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 really hope we get the Klubot.
Now, that's not the best pitcher we signed.
So who is?
Asher Wojciechowski.
The main man himself.
Signed a minor league deal with us. You may remember that long-ass name from the Orioles.
And how he gave up 6 home runs to the Yankees in 2 games.
So, do with that what you will. I don't know. It's just a move. It's a fill spot. I mean, the guy had to sign somewhere.
And I hope he does well. That's all I can say.
Yeah, maybe this guy ends up being a part of like our bullpen days or something.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, that's just kind of like the perfect role for him, is it not? Speaking about bullpen days, Nestor Cortez Jr. is back.
The boy.
The king of our bullpen days. You know, I love it.
Chad Green must be happy.
I love the move. Because Loaisiga didn't really fill the role that well. He had a few good spots, but Loaisiga's interesting. I honestly think he'd be a better reliever than anything else.
Yeah, just he needs to be set in one role.
If you remember, when he first debuted, people drew comparisons to Mariano Rivera, which was insane. Why I still don't understand why they compare him to Mariano Rivera. He's not built like him. He doesn't pitch like him. The only reason I bring it up is because, like Mariano Rivera, this guy's a starter who should probably be a reliever. So, let's just leave Lasagna in the bullpen.
Please.
Please and thank you, Mr. Aaron Boone.
Nice hard thrower. He's got some good stuff. Just needs a set role.
the Yankees have also made another addition to the team. This time it was addition by subtraction, and that is with J.A. Happ going to the Twins.
I don't want to celebrate, but and I hope he does well for the Twins, but man.
Oh, he will. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be a Cy Young contender, you know.
He will. It's just the way it goes around here.
Just like Lance Lynn, Sonny Gray, he will be a Cy Young contender next year. Mark my words.
And another guy who hasn't signed yet, but is as guaranteed to not be Yankee as a football player is, and that is James Paxton.
I really wish that worked out with us.
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't understand why we're letting him go so easily.
I don't really understand it either.
I mean, he got hurt. Like, why? He wasn't awful for us. If you remember, at the end of 2019, he was our best pitcher.
By far, really.
What did he win his last 9 in a row?
Yeah. That then put up insane performances in the playoffs.
Like, why are we just, yeah, but he got hurt. Okay, and? So did everyone else on our team.
We have a streak with that this offseason because, you know, Tommy Canley gets Tommy John and we just send him off to the Dodgers.
Yeah, we always do that for no reason. Oh, he's
hurt. And to good players.
He's hurt, so, like, we should never play him ever again.
Why should we even think about re-signing this guy? He's hurt.
Tommy Canley is going to be a beast for the Dodgers.
Next year.
Yeah. I do not get it. The only reason to not sign Paxton is because he's a Boris guy and he's going to ask for an exorbitant amount of money. But if he signs for a reasonable deal, I'm going to be pissed.
Which he will, just because the Yankees.
It's a joke. I don't get it.
Paxton threw a bullpen a while ago. I want to find the numbers for that. Because he might have thrown like 96 just because. You know, he finally had enough time to rehab his injury.
You know, and here's the thing. If you remember at the beginning of the year, he was pitching awful. And he was like, I'm not right. And they just didn't listen to
him. They're just like, okay, you're starting in 3 days, 5 days, whatever.
I wonder why he's not pitching well.
You know, Austin, it might be because he got surgery on his back. It's kind of important for pitching, you know.
And then a short, not even a short, a non-existent spring training.
Yeah. But whatever, man. I guess he's just worthless and we shouldn't sign him. I can't find the numbers, but...
Yeah, it really irks me. You know, we might as well go around the horn now, which is where we go around the league and we talk about things that don't have to do with just the Yankees, because not only does Paxton look like he's gone, he might go to the Blue Jays. Which would
now you
suck.
See, I would be fine with that if the Blue Jays weren't in on everyone that we should be in on.
Not only are they in on anyone we're in on, they're in our division.
Yeah, that's the biggest part.
We're going to have to see him 40 million times a year, and the schedule might get changed where they want less travel again. And if that happens, we're screwed, because I don't care. I don't care what your opinion is on Paxton. He's going to kill us.
He's going to throw 7 to 8 inning, one-hitter shutouts with, like, a walk, maybe. And, like, 9 strikeouts. But every time. Oh, man.
I really hate the idea of just getting rid of Paxton.
You know what I hate more?
What's that?
The idea of getting rid of Tanaka.
You know what? That's another one.
That it just forget and the pitching depth, forget everything. That just makes me sad.
I was looking at Twitter, and it came out that Tanaka wants a 1-year deal for $15 to $20 million,
which is a lot of money, man.
But is it that much? $15 million? Not really.
For
a year?
If Corey Kluber, who pitched 36 innings in 2 years, can get 11, Masahiro Tanaka, who has been our rock in the playoffs for the last 3 years, can get $15 million.
Thank you. Thank you. What has Kluber done that Tanaka hasn't over the past 2 years?
I'm clipping that and putting that on Twitter later. I thought that was good.
That was very good. The only thing Kluber,
thank you,
has done that Tanaka hasn't is not pitch. There's no reason that, and this is not only just, I guess, executives, but also Yankees Twitter, because Yankees Twitter was freaking out about Tanaka wanting $15 million. Why is Kluber a steal at 11?
I freaked out about it when I first saw the number. Then I thought about it. I was like, wait. It's not even bad.
It's not bad at all.
Also, we're the Yankees. It shouldn't matter. I don't get why we're acting like a small market team.
Now, they want to stay under the tax threshold.
Blech. Just go over it 1 year. Live a little.
Well, if you remember, the last time they wanted to get under the tax threshold was 2017. Or 2016. No, it was 2017, which they did. And then the next year, they had money, so they got Giancarlo Stanton. So hopefully, this is getting ready to do something big. What I fear, though, is it's not that, and it's just they want to recover from the COVID loss.
Maybe it's like a little bit of a combination of both. Like, it started out as getting ready to set up, but now it's just led up to recovering from COVID money loss.
And if you remember, I get it, but every single team in the MLB had COVID loss.
And the Dodgers are spending money, the Blue Jays are spending money, the Mets are going off. Granted, they just got a new owner, but still.
Yeah. Mets are a little bit different because their owner didn't suffer any of the loss. And we got to talk about the Mets in a hot second. But we're talking about the Blue Jays right now, looking at Paxton. And keep in mind, there was a story that came out that the Blue Jays are actually struggling to sign free agents they want to sign due to where they're going to play.
Do we even know?
I think they're playing in Florida.
I'm going to look that up right now.
Yeah, like they have a home set up, but I believe they're playing in Florida. So even while they're struggling to sign guys they want to sign, they just signed George Springer, who I don't know, man. People are freaking out that he got a lot of money. $25 million for George Springer is next to nothing.
That dude in the playoffs is the best hitter. Not the best, but one of the best hitters I have ever seen.
Yeah, it's unreal.
Regardless of if they cheated or not. But he's so crazy.
You know, when I was looking at that, I looked at his home road splits.
And I have interesting stats when you're done.
George Springer, over his career, has been a better road hitter than home hitter. Which is an odd stat.
Especially for an Astro during these last few years.
But I think George Springer is going to be a solid signing for the Blue Jays.
I hope so, but I don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't hope so, but I think it will. I can't stand the guy, but whatever. Kirby Yates is another guy that goes to the Blue Jays.
Former Yankee?
Former Yankee.
Who I wanted.
I also wanted. But Yates, that's another good deal. I mean, he's coming off of an injury. But it's whatever. I think it'd be a solid, it's a solid move for the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays are fully trying to secure the number two spot in our division now. I mean, heck, they may even be trying for the number one spot. But
with the way that the Yankees are operating, it's like they're trying for the number two spot.
Yeah. And the Rays were like, we went to the World Series, we want to finish in fourth now. Well, I don't get what the Rays are doing.
They are, they're just weird, man. I don't even know.
I mean, they basically did what the Marlins did in 03. Except that at least the Marlins won it.
Yeah.
And you can't even call it a salary thing. They had like, what, 90 million salary last year?
Yeah, it's not like anyone's getting paid.
It's ridiculous. I do not understand the Rays.
But back to the Blue Jays for one quick second. At KT Sharp, she always brings up good stats about the Yankees and stuff.
She is phenomenal.
She brought up George Springer's career numbers against the Yankees.
Yes, not good.
In the regular season, he's hit 183, 252, 339 in 119 plate appearances with 40 strikeouts. And in the postseason, he's hit 145, 254, 273 in 63 plate appearances, 18 strikeouts. So I'll take that.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be great because Bichette kills us.
Yeah.
Grichuk kills us.
So, I don't get that dude. That dude only hits against the Yankees.
Well, I actually was, when they made that move, I loved Grichuk when he was with the Cardinals. And I was like, that's a good move for them. And then it turned out to only be a good move for them when he's playing against us. Let's go to the Mets real quick. Before we go to the Mets, let's stick with the Blue Jays for one hot second. The Mets, I mean, the Blue Jays almost got Michael Brantley. It came out like, what, maybe like a half an hour after George Springer signed with the Blue Jays?
Yeah, like once we got the official numbers for Springer, maybe like 45 minutes, there were some tweets going around from different reporters with how his, what's the word? Because they're both with the same agency about how Spring was trying to convince Brantley to also come with him.
And then it was reported that he did.
Account with 400 followers. What are you doing, Kenny Rosenthal? Come on, dude.
And then we've been duped. He signs 2 years with the Astros. So it was all a lie.
Yeah.
It wasn't a lie. It was a mistake. But why does this keep happening this offseason? Yeah, why do these false reports keep happening?
They've been happening a lot more than, like, I've ever seen for the MLB.
Like, the last one I can remember before this year was Dexter Fowler to the Orioles when he went to the Cubs, actually. You remember that time he surprised the Cubs in spring training?
Yes.
Like, 3 days before that, it was reported that he signed with the Orioles. Remember when the Orioles were trying to win games?
What a time.
Yeah, it was a weird time.
Remember when the Orioles made the playoffs?
Remember when Chris Davis was good at baseball?
That was a fun 2 years.
But the reason, I mean, Michael Brantley gets falsely reported, and Brad Hand got falsely reported.
Yeah.
Brad Hand was reported that he went to the Mets. Now, he didn't go to the Mets, and they're still in on him. Like, he didn't sign anywhere else. But it's still odd. I don't understand why there's so many false reports right now. Sticking with the Mets fired their GM. They cannot Good. Catch a break when it comes to hirings for some reason.
Yeah.
Just last year, they hired Carlos Beltran. And then they had to immediately fire him due to his connections to the Astro scandal. By the way, Alex Cora and AJ Hinch both have jobs now. Just to let you know, they have jobs now, but Carlos Beltran is blacklisted from baseball.
I think I'll get a job soon. I hope.
He won't.
You're right.
But the Mets, they hired Jared Porter out of Arizona. Before Arizona, he was with the Cubs. Before that, he was with the Red Sox. While he was with the Cubs, back in 2016, the year they won the World Series, actually, he was a part of their scouting team. I can't remember like his exact title, but he had something to do with scouting. And then he moved to the Diamondbacks with the assistant GM role, and then he got GM with the Mets. But when he was with scouting with the Cubs, there was a reporter from a country who, I can't remember the country, I'm not even sure if it's been said, but a foreign reporter who's remained anonymous, he sent her a few like
explicit pictures.
But before that, it was just provocative texts, right?
All went unresponded.
No, at first she was responding.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He sent her a selfie. She then responded with a selfie. And then it just escalated when she wasn't wanting it to get escalated. He starts sending explicit photos, and it gets to the point where he's sending photos and text messages, and there are 62 unresponded text messages. He was then asked, I don't know if it was Passan, but it was someone with ESPN before the story came out. They were like, this story's coming out. They asked him about it, and he said, when it came to the nudes, that they were just joke stock photos. Which tells you exist. One thing. He's still an asshole. You could say people change. This guy has not changed. At all. How could you possibly change? How could you send 62 unresponded text messages, including nudes, and then when someone asks you about it, you go, it's a joke. What's the punchline?
People suck.
It doesn't make any sense to me. I
don't know, dude.
The Mets, so this comes out late at night. The next morning, Steve Cohen tweets that they have got rid of Jared Porter. Then they'll be okay. The Mets will be fine with this one. Because they got Sandy Alderson, who he wasn't filling the GM role, but he can. And then next year, they'll hire a new one. But
and hopefully not fire him within 30 to 60 days like they did Beltran and Porter.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and it was two things that they couldn't see coming, because if they knew that he had done that, you like to think they wouldn't have hired him.
Yeah.
And same thing with Beltran, too. Like, they got screwed both times, big time. But they'll be okay. I think the Beltran one had more. I don't like their manager at all. I know they kept him. And Tyler Boyce doesn't seem to mind him. But I can't stand that guy. Like, I don't think he's a solid manager. I could be wrong.
I think they're giving him 1 year, and then if it doesn't work out, then if it doesn't work out, then what's his name? Cohen will hire his own dude.
Well, it'll probably be Alderson.
Yeah.
Who makes the decision on it? Let's move on to some sad news, because I don't want to end with it like we usually do. But Hank Aaron.
One of the GOATs.
Definitely top 10, probably top 5, maybe even top 3 greatest baseball players of all time.
Yeah.
Has unfortunately passed away. He was 86. And I don't know. I have a swag or not swag pertaining to it. So I'm not going to spoil that. But we don't talk about him enough.
He's another one of those great players that just goes almost unnoticed.
And the reason for it, I think, is because of how humble he was. I mean, the man had no ego at all. And he hit 755 home runs.
Yeah.
And it
he's,
was so
he's
crazy.
A lot of people's home run king. Like, you know?
He's the only guy to do it clean, right? So, he hit 755 home runs after spending a short time in the Negro Leagues. He, when he was approaching, so he finished the season, I can't remember the year, but he finished the season at 713 home runs. And then in the start of the next season, it was obvious he was going to pass the 715 with a 714 that Ruth had. So he was getting letters consistently of straight up hate mail. The KKK.
Death threats
because this black baseball player dared to challenge a record held by a white man. And you gotta think that when you get thousands of them. I was watching an interview where he goes, you get a lot of them, but all it takes is one of them to not be fake.
Yeah.
For there to be serious issues. And with that stress throughout his entire career, because he broke the record in the 70s. It wasn't the 40s or 50s.
That's only like 50 years ago.
It's ridiculous. And he goes through all of that and becomes one of the single greatest baseball players to ever live. If you ask a lot of people, he is the greatest baseball player to ever live. Mickey Mantle said he's the greatest player to ever play in my generation.
Which is very high praise.
That's a guy you want on your side?
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, and you think about it, we hardly ever talk about him. It doesn't make any sense to me, really. Maybe it's just a generation thing, but I mean, we talk about Mickey Mantle more than Hank Aaron.
Well, I mean, Mickey Mantle was a Yankee.
I'm not talking about us, though.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about us as, like, a baseball community. We talk about Mickey Mantle more. Now, does the Yankee thing hold weight? I think 100%. If Mickey Mantle wasn't a Yankee, I don't think we talk about him as much as we do.
If he played for, like, the Brewers...
Like, we'd still talk about him, obviously, with what he's done.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not the same.
If Hank Aaron was a Yankee, the conversations
my God.
That's how you really have to dictate how good a player is. Is what would the perception be around him if he was a Yankee? And Hank Aaron would probably be talked about as the second or first best baseball player of all time. Now, does that mean that we overrate Yankees? I think it means the opposite. I think it means we underrate everyone else.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it.
Hopefully it's a percent, and I think it's definitely gotten better.
About time.
In terms of stars being made in other cities. But at the same time, Mike Trout is in LA wasting away. I hardly ever watch a Mike Trout game. Hardly ever.
But that's also because, one, the MLB doesn't know how to market people.
No.
And two, it looks like Mike Trout doesn't want to be marketed, you know? Because Aaron Judge, yes, he's a Yankee.
You think Derek Jeter wanted to be marketed? No. Derek Jeter didn't care about that.
Well, Mike Trout's not Derek Jeter.
Well, Mike Trout's better than Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
But the thing is, all you have to do is put his games not at 10 p.m.
Well, that's just the West Coast thing. No, what can they do?
It's
7 o'clock for West Coast.
Yeah, that's 7 o'clock. So put a 4 o'clock game on national television. 4 o'clock West Coast time.
Yeah.
Put his 1 o'clock games on national television. Just broadcast his games. Put him in commercials for your promos. He's in the Subway commercials more than he's in the baseball commercials.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that?
Oh, there's one thing. It's sort of off topic, but not really. Why is Aaron Judge the baseball guy for Jersey Mike's? Mike Trout
is from Jersey.
And he's named Mike. It's
Can they switch positions?
It's right there. He's Jersey Mike.
That is right.
Come
there.
On.
Yeah, you couldn't write it any better.
And I love Aaron Judge, but what? Come on.
And Subway is garbage.
Yeah, Subway's straight trash. But
So yeah. Rest in peace to the great Hank Aaron.
Yeah. We went from Hank Aaron
to Jersey Mike's.
To Aaron Judge being the Jersey Mike's commercial guy. Whatever.
Moving on. Joe Musgrove was another guy us Yankees fans were looking at. Well, don't. He's on the Padres. Dude, we can't catch a break, dude. How much you want to bet that the Yankees asked the Pirates about Musgrove, and they were like, yeah, just give us, like, Jason Dominguez and give us Clark Schmidt.
Oh, and throw in Gleyber Torres, you know. Because people still think he's available.
Yeah, well, he's asked about in literally every trade discussion we have.
He's not a prospect anymore, guys.
Yeah, I don't know. But we have to stop with this whole Gleyber stuff.
Please, it's getting annoying.
So, we have a lot of stuff coming out of the National League East. The Braves are in on Realmuto. I hate that idea. And I would like for it to stop. By the way.
I just talked to the Braves. Because you feel that way, they are now no longer in on JT Realmuto.
Thank God. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
JT Realmuto, if you ask me, has to go back to the Phillies. I really don't want this Phillies team to just blow up.
Maybe we'll finally get Bryce Harper.
Dude, if we get Bryce Harper, that'd be insane. The lefty power bat we've always needed.
Yeah.
The Braves are in on Realmuto. The Phillies have offered him a deal north of $100 million. So, I don't know what happens, but God, I need that. I need him to sign soon.
Yeah.
I do. The Nationals, sticking with the NL East, John Lester ends up there.
The boy.
Good for John Lester.
Yeah.
You know, wish he went somewhere a little bit better, but, you know, good.
Happy he's still pitching.
And last out of the NL East is Archie Bradley signs with the Phillies.
Another player I wanted the Yankees to sign.
I want everyone to take a second out of their day and go on Archie Bradley's Twitter and see how much fun this guy has. This guy has already made people from Philly fall in love with him. And this is coming from me, someone who just follows the Phillies. But if the Phillies were ever to play the Yankees, even if it was a game that the Yankees didn't need and the Phillies desperately needed, I want the Yankees to crush them 25-0. But Archie Bradley will make anyone fall in love with him in about 55 seconds. So, I bring this up because if this guy went on the Yankees, he would have been our next Tommy Canley or Todd Frazier or Nick Swisher or Andrew McCutchen. Like any of those guys that you just instantly fall in love with. But alas, it does not happen. He goes to the Phillies.
Sigh.
Audible sigh. And last for around the horn, in our division, the Red Sox get Kike Hernandez.
Good signing.
Yeah, okay.
Now I can't like him. That sucks.
He's mad funny. He is super funny. Hey, Nick. Do you know what time it is?
Oh, I think so. Let's go for it, buddy. Let's go.
Now, it's time for Swag or Not Swag.
This is Swag or Not Swag.
Yeah, baby.
The best segment, and our obviously our favorite segment of the entire podcast. Now, Nick, I'm going to start with you because I want to finish it off today.
Alrighty. How many do you have?
Two.
Okay. So my first one, it's pretty easy. Swag or not swag, get Eric Kratz on our coaching staff.
I absolutely love it.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I think that's the only way to put it.
Whether it be catching coach, bullpen coach, pitching, whatever, just get him here. Love that guy.
Now, my first one may be a little controversial, but that's what the segment's for. And that is that I believe we have overpaid Corey Kluber.
I'm going to go swag.
Now, the reason I say this is because if you remember the first reports, which I would have loved, is that the Yankees were looking at heavily incentivized one-year deal. That would have been a wonderful idea.
Yes.
If Corey Kluber had a deal that I don't even care if it maxed out at $15 million, but it was with incentives, I would have loved it.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been his base salary.
But paying a guy $11 million when the Yankees are operating on a budget and he's pitched an inning last year and the year before that, like 35. It's a little bit scary. So that's my thought process on it.
And I can't say that I disagree with you.
So what is your second?
My second is swag or not swag. Trade Clint in a package for Luis Castillo and then sign Yasiel Puig to take his place.
Okay, let me talk this out. Trading Clint hurts a lot.
Yes.
Luis Castillo would be a fantastic number two behind Gerrit Cole.
Very much so.
I want Yasiel Puig nowhere near this team.
But who else is available?
That's the question that you're faced with. You got exactly. Talkman on your team.
Puig is better than Talkman. Especially after last year. In my opinion, anyway.
Can we really judge Talkman off of last year?
Well, if you say no, then you can't judge anyone off of last year.
You're right. But can we really... How much weight do we put on last year?
Well, if we won the World Series, we'd say a lot.
See, I don't know how true that is, though. Because if you remember last year, we were talking about the World Series, and we said, I mean, obviously we want to win it, but it's just different. We did have that conversation.
Yeah, we did. But if we won the World Series, then I wouldn't care about anything right now. I'd just be like, all right, get the season done. We'll figure it out next year.
I don't know. It's an interesting thought. I mean, Talkman didn't have a great year last year.
Talkman didn't have a hit off of a fastball.
Hit an OPS plus of 83. Batting average of 242. I mean, it just wasn't good. But the year before that, OPS plus of 127.
The year before that, if he doesn't get hurt, I think we do insane in the playoffs. That dude is going nuts.
And then you look at Puig. His last year, he had an OPS plus of 99. Year before that, 120. Year before that, 119. So, I mean, none of those years were as good as Talkman's 2019 in terms of OPS plus.
But that's only 1 year.
That was his 1 year, but he's only really played that 1 year. I mean, he's played 2017. He played 31 games. That was his first year. 2018, he played 21. Then we get him. He plays 87, and he has an OPS plus of 127. Last year, he only played 43 games. Like, 43 games is such a small sample size.
Very. So, but if you trade Clint, are you fine with just Mike Tauchman?
I mean, no. But what else are you going to do? Because how much money is Puig going to want?
Not a lot, because he didn't play at all last year.
If you remember, he had that deal signed up with the Marlins, but then he tested positive during the physical. And they said, no, we're not even going to bother.
Which sucks, by the way.
Well,
I mean, bad.
It sucks, but if they had him, they might not have traded for Starlin Marte.
That's very true.
So I think it's better off that they did. You know what? I'm going to say, I guess swag, I guess.
All right.
I don't really want Yasiel Puig on this team, but if it means we get Luis Castillo, I'm obviously going to take it.
And if I hope that this works. Imagine if that actually happens. Trade Clint for Castillo, sign Puig, that'd be nuts.
Here's my last swag or not swag, and this is how we're going to end it. And I touched on it before, hinting at it a little bit. And that is that Hank Aaron, this is a big statement here.
Okay.
Hank Aaron is the single most underappreciated player in sports history.
That is a huge...
Now, here's my reason.
Statement.
Obviously, there are people we talk about less than Hank Aaron. But is there anyone we talk about less than Hank Aaron that is as good or better than Hank Aaron is? And my answer is no.
I mean, you know what? I don't know if I can argue with you really here. Not even argue, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Like, I can't think of anyone better. Now, obviously, if we don't... That's the conundrum about underrated, is sometimes they're so underrated you're not even thinking about them. But is there anyone we don't talk about that we talk about less than Hank Aaron that is better than him? And I don't think there is.
Because this dude...
He's so unbelievably good.
And arguably like the best baseball player of all time, and he's still underrated.
I mean, you say 44... And you say name a baseball player number 44, right? I mean, obviously, it's partly generational, but I think more people would say Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
And Reggie Jackson is nowhere near. He's not even this. He hardly plays the same sport as Hank Aaron. So that is how we will end it. Something to think about.
Oh, I'm gonna go swag.
Okay.
Just to put that in there.
Thank you all for listening. We hope to see you next episode. And go Yankees.
Let's go Yankees. Garrett Cole is a New York Yankee, baby.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at BoogiePod and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.